You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wham Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is good? Welcome back to this episode of the Van Flip Podcast, or welcome to this episode of the Van Flip Podcast. If you haven't been here before, I have to change how I do these intros just for that reason. Today I am joined none other than the budding band Pupil Slicer, Kate and Luke from the band Pupil Slicer, I should say. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Very busy. We've got the album coming out in 2 days at the moment, and we're recording, so lots of orders to pack, but yeah. We're getting through it.
Good. Yeah. You guys have been making some waves in the last couple. You guys are a relatively new band in the grand scheme of things, only a handful of years, but you guys have been making some waves in the rear, recent near past. You guys have been making a lot of waves recently, so how's that been?
Yeah, it's been mad. I mean, we couldn't really hope for anything like that. So when we made the first album, we thought a couple of our mates would listen to it, and ended up on lots of people's album of the year list. So it was like pretty crazy time. So we made another album, and hopefully that does as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, past performance doesn't always guarantee future returns.
No,
I like that.
As they like to say.
Yeah, that's true. You also have, definitely have released a few singles up to this point, and they seem to be going over quite well.
Yeah, we've got three of them out. We think they encapsulate sort of good palette of taste, the palette of the kind of things on the album. Obviously there's loads more stuff in the album that isn't really covered with those, but we thought it'd be funny to, like, that was the main reason for, like, the first single being the one that's, like, least like the first album, is we were like, well, no one would expect that, so let's release that and then release the heaviest track as the second single so any doubters can get set right with that.
Intentional swerve.
Yeah.
So how was the reception of the first one, and how were your feelings the night before releasing that? You know, because obviously you have it set to release on a certain date. So what were the feelings?
Kind of scared about how it'd go down on Lamb Goat, obviously, which is held in high regard by the band. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to get into that. Like, this was a thing that Kate and Josh was like had before. Kind of like, I really knew what Lamb Goat was, the palace of like trolling.
Yeah,
as it's communicated in the band. So maybe Kate wants to kind of extrapolate on that more.
Well, hold on, time out. Before we jump in, I definitely want to get into that, but there's a couple other bases I want to cover before we get into that particular situation.
Sure.
Kate's you're young, correct? Like, I don't want to guesstimate your age, but it's like mid-20s?
Yeah.
And Luke, how old are you?
I'm 52. No, I'm not. I'm 33.
Okay. I'm just curious because you have a well maintained lock of dreads, like a lot of dreads that have taken many years probably. So I would have assumed you're older than Kate. But
I'm a bit older, like 33, but I feel 43.
It's all good.
Not true. I feel good.
I'll be the oldest on the podcast. I'll be 40 this year, so it's all good. I'll take the old man role.
But I always said that, like, I'd just become, you know, the bassist in Lamb of God. He's like about 7 or 8 years older than the rest of them.
Yeah,
he's just like still been doing it. I was like, I'll become that guy, and here I am. So
yeah, if all goes according to plan, you'll have another, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of doing this, hopefully within this band.
My beard started going gray, as you can see on the low pixel camera.
Welcome to the club, man. Welcome. I got a whole like Jon Stewart, a whole thing going on.
Nice.
A whole streak.
Distinguished.
Yeah.
Distinguished.
Yeah. if we'll call it that. We might have to shave this beard off in a little bit if it keeps going. But so I bring that up to bring this up. You found heavy music, Kate, at a very I don't want to say later stage, but you were almost 20 years old, or you were almost in that, you know, out of school and everything like that. So you kind of fell into heavy music. I don't want to say later in the game, but you did, you know, later in life in your teen years. And then how long did you take before, you know, oh, I've heard my first heavy track, I love it, boom, I'm in Pupil Slicer?
It was probably like less than a year.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty fast turnaround. Like, I got into metal around when I was about 18, second half of being 18, first year of uni. And the first heavy band that I listened to was actually Death Heaven. Probably won't go down with Lamb Goat Readers that well for that one.
And we cover them either way.
But, and then someone was like, oh, if you liked that, check out Jane Doe by Converge. It was a bit of a curveball. I don't know why someone said that, but that was like the next thing. And then someone was like, well, listen to One of Us is Killer by Dillinger. And then those three bands are still my favorite bands.
Very much, yeah.
Probably quite apparent in the music I write, but the first things I learned to play on guitar were like Death Heaven songs, because I was like, oh, this is sick. And I had like this shitty £15 guitar from like, I don't know what the American equivalent is, but
it's like 30, 40 bucks.
Walmart.
Walmart, like a Walmart guitar for like $30. It was awful. And then I went to a friend's house at uni, and he had like an electric, like a Fender Squire Strat, and I tried it, and I was like, oh my god, this is what it's like to play with action that's less than like 2 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. So then when I got home from the first year of uni, I was like, well, I'm going to go and invest all my money spending £250, which isn't that much, on like on a Ibanez. I got that. And then I just started learning Death Heaven and Converge songs and Dillinger Escape Plan songs, which is probably quite a deep end to start on. But,
yeah, I would say it's just an ease into playing guitar. You know, some people start with like Bob Marley chords. You're going like, fuck it, Jane Doe is a good
guitar. Yeah, I mean, it was like a year after I started playing guitar that I was like, right, I'm going to learn some chords now. Because I was like, I'll just learn riffs. That'll be fine. But I mean, it sort of worked itself out. I had like a couple lessons near the start. I was like, right, if I want to actually play guitar, I should probably have some lessons to be like, so don't fuck my hands up holding the guitar wrong or something. Which I was like doing the worst, like fucking clawing my hand around to do it. But I resolved those issues and then sort of just figured out the rest by myself. And then I put up an ad on Join My Band, which is a website here. Where I was like, I want to be in a band like Death Heaven, and I ended up joining a post-black metal band with Josh, our drummer, and then us and the bassist from that band were like, we've got some grindcore riffs. And then we ended up writing a whole grindcore EP, and then that bassist shortly left after, and then we found Luke on Join My Band as well, and he joined because we sounded like Carcass at the time, and he was promised low IQ, heavy gore grind riffs. But then I was like, oh sick, you're good at bass, so let's play mathcore, because that's what I really like. And then we wrote Mirrors after that, so it was a pretty short turnaround. And like, yeah, within a space of a year from picking up guitar, I started Pupil Slicer, and I think you can see that in the music, like competency. Like when we did that first EP, it was like the hardest thing I'd ever played on guitar, and I was like, this is ridiculous, I can't do this.
But how long had you been playing guitar? Like, how long had you been playing guitar up until that point, though? Because it was, if it's the hardest thing,
months.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing you ever played in guitar. But it was like 6 months into your quote unquote journey. You know what I mean?
And it was like just opens and like bar chords, not bar chords, like power chords. And I was like, this is horrible, I can't do this.
It's a lot of like 0, 3, 6, 4, 1, 4, 3, 4, 4, 3, 1, 0, 3,
like the Holy Trinity or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's all you need.
Then just move that bad boy half a step, play it once more, move it to another string, play it once more, and hey, you're rocking.
You've got a whole verse, bridge,
you got
chorus. Bridge. Yeah, you're good to go.
You're doing it.
So I think my ethos for like learning guitar was like seeing Ben Weinman from Dillinger being like, I love writing stuff and then learning how to play it after, because then I'll be forced to, I'll be like, I've got this good riff, I should learn how to play it properly. So that was sort of my ethos for doing stuff, and I've just been pushing myself as a guitar player by like writing stuff I can't play.
Yeah.
And then being like, fuck, I've got to learn this now. But I've managed so far. I've managed to fool everyone into thinking I can at least play guitar to sort of a competent level so far.
I've been trying to get Kate to like learn some Sinister Gates solos to improve the shred aspect of Kate's playing.
Oh yeah, I can't shred, I can't sweep or anything like that. All I can do is play in weird time signatures.
No, we just find my mates to do that and then bring them in the band to come and play.
Yeah, we've got...
That's the easiest part.
We've had the two live guitarists, and basically when I had the live guitarists, they could both shred. So I was like, right, I'm going to write a shredding solo and then make them play it for me, because I don't want to learn that.
So when you bring that in...
That's what we did on Blossom.
When you bring that into the to the practice space or to the idea room, so to speak, are you mouth-ripping all these ideas? Like, I have a solo idea like that goes like... And then they got
to be... A good example, like... Go on, Kate, go on.
I sort of tab it all out, so...
Okay.
I'll tab out, like, the general form of it, so I'll be like... I want it to shred and on the beats hit these notes along the way, and then the slower parts of the solo between the shreds I'll just write out completely. Now I'll just be like, can you join these up with like 16th notes, and then I'll get that back, and then I'll be like, I don't like those passing notes, send it back again, and then that
passing notes matter, right?
The passing notes matter. You can't skimp on the passing notes.
So what made you decide to pick up guitar? Were you like interested in music, or like, because you seemed like, whether you've learned it very quickly in a short span of time, which is possible obviously, but you, a lot of people like that play guitar or whatever, not that a lot of people that play guitar, but a lot of the people that I talk to on this podcast don't know even like what an A chord is, or, you know, they play guitar very well, they just don't know the fundamentals and the basics of like what to call this or what to call that. They know where to just put their fingers or what it sounds like and where to put, you know, on the fretboard they can mimic that sound. But it sounds like you're tabbing stuff out, so like, you do you have like a better mental knowledge of like music?
We know theory,
yeah,
so
but like, but yeah, you can't, yeah. But you're better at that than like playing it out. Like, you understand that part way better than playing it out.
So I did...
a lot of people don't know theory, too. You know? Surprise, surprise. A lot of people don't know theory. It just works out.
Hey, we know some scales. About three.
Nice. That's all you need. Like you said, move it up and down the fretboard, switch it to a different string.
Just hit that Lydian shit. Ooh.
I studied violin from when I was, like, 7 years old till I was, like, 16.
Okay.
Just because my mum was like, there's this fiddle orchestra, we should... do something creative. I didn't really like it. It was all right, but it wasn't like scratching that itch. But I also had a really shitty like acoustic guitar my whole childhood that was so bad it made me not want to play it at all. I was like, this is awful. So until I got that electric guitar, then I got that and I was like, oh, this clicked. You just crank loads of distortion on it and then you can like write sick riffs. But then another point of reference was Def Heaven saying, if the riff doesn't work without distortion, then it's probably not a great riff. So actually a lot of the stuff is written just me playing electric guitar acoustically and being like, sick, that's sick, and then you put all the effects on it after and it sounds even better. But I'm getting less strict on that now, because there are some riffs which like just don't work without distortion. But yeah, it's just finding those ways to like build up the repertoire. I think learning a lot of other artists' songs helps with like musical repertoire and being like, oh, there's these techniques, there's these chord shapes and stuff that are a bit more complicated. But yeah, I did do theory as well alongside.
Yeah, I would assume
playing when I was younger.
Yeah, if you're messing with the violin at a young age, you probably have a decent grasp on, you know, tablature and just music theory in general. Yeah, so that explains a lot.
I can't read sheet music on guitar. I can on violin. I can read on piano, but I can't on guitar.
So when you're tabbing it out, are you tabbing it out in the program, or are you just kind of tabbing it out on like a
notebook? Tabbing it out in the program.
Okay.
I use Tux guitar. Cheapo,
man. Yeah, Guitar Pro's better. Guitar Pro 5.
I don't know how to use it. So it's been a thing of, oh yeah, I'll learn how to use Guitar Pro at some point, and I've never gotten around to it. And I'm like, well, I've got this idea, I'm just going to keep using it.
It's very similar. It's very similar. The console is like the same. But I just wanted to say, Kate, like, you know that sentiment that you expressed about it being acoustic and like how if you can't play acoustically, then it's not really a good song. That's I remember that sentiment also being expressed by Paul Stanley regarding Kiss's material, and that's why they made Alive 3. So maybe we need to apply that to Slicer stuff. I don't know if we could play any Mirrors songs acoustically. we maybe could play a couple on this one, though.
Yeah.
Seems a bit more... what's the proper word? Elevated. The material is elevated.
Like elevated.
It's just not. It's just not grindcore tracks, though, right? So, like,
there's different aspects. There's a lot of different aspects coming in on this particular record. That's not just like musical, but like vocal stuff. There's different vocal stuff on there. There's different, like you guys said, when you released the first single, it was a little straight from the path of what you guys had previously put out. So, you know, you kind of show a little growth within that time period of, you know, that short period of between albums. So hey, what's up, it's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on the Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this, give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. and to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a... It wasn't a active decision to, like, move outside the box from the first album, though. It was more people really liked the first album. And everything about it, which sort of lifted a lot of the fears around, like, are people going to like us if we don't sound enough like Converge? yeah. So I'm like, I know people like Converge riffs, and I know people like Dillinger riffs, so as long as I write those, I'm all right. And then on this album, I was like, okay, I might try some Pupil Slicer riffs this time. So I think this album's a little bit more Pupil Slicer than...
Mature. It's a mature,
mature
sound.
It's a bit more confident in itself. I'm not relying as heavily on influences. Obviously, no art's created in a void, so you're going to have all those influences still clear. And at the core of it, I still love Dillinger and Converge, so I'm going to write bumping riffs in 1916.
Yeah.
You know, on the Dillinger thing, we should probably say that when we drove back from the tour that we just finished from Denmark, so we drove from Denmark to Calais, and that's about like an 18 or 20 hour drive. Our guitarist Alex, he took the wheel for a while, all in short.
Dropped the bombshell.
Yeah.
Heard Dillinger, and he's playing in a mathcore band.
Wow.
He had listened to Converge a bit, though.
But how do you navigate it a little bit to that? I don't know how you would just. I mean, he's had to have heard of them, but just was like.
He's heard of them, just not listened.
You know, yeah. I'll fucking leave that for
so I was like, right. Plugged in the aux, and we played the entire Dillinger discography back to front in one go.
Oh my god, that's a whole thing.
He loved it. He was like, oh, it just sounds like Pupil Slicer.
You're just like, yeah. He's like, yeah, this is good. You're like, you want another album, Alex?
Yeah,
this is good. It's like, got a couple more hours of me. Let's keep going. And it's just like, fucking hell. Yeah, and like the other part to it was kind of that we were recounting, you know, like our personal experiences with the music of it and like kind of like, oh, sorry. We saw them on this tour and like giving our personal like kind of things. Because me and Kate have, you know, because I'm a bit older, I was kind of around a little bit more before, and then Kate kind of came into it when it was kind of when they're in their true latter days. But it's like, Yeah, there's a big love for them in the band, obviously.
There's a big love for them, and I think most of the scene, if you like, from my time for sure, they like everyone.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I,
man.
I just saw Converge last weekend for the, you know, second time this year or something like that. So that's
nice.
That's a band I try to see whenever I can, wherever I can. And then Dillinger, if I could, I'd see him every day if I, you know, if I could. But that probably won't happen. It's been.
I did that at one point. On
it's
the
been
last
a while.
On the last tour through the UK, I think I watched like 5 dates of it. Just traveled around the UK following.
Yeah, it was worth it. If you could get on that farewell tour. Yeah, I thought about doing the New York shows. That would have been fun. But they came through here on their last tour, and I got to do some artist stuff with them. So that was kind of neat.
Oh, kidding.
Yeah, I was talking to Greg about Glassjaw's album at the time, and he was like, yeah, you'll probably get a Glassjaw album before another band, but it took 2 years for that Glassjaw album to come out, so I think he was wrong. But other than that, you know, it is what it is. So what is your, you go through the discography and, like, that whole 18-hour, you know, van ride. What's the consensus on the best Dillinger album?
Oh, okay.
Well, I think
hit him with the line. Hit him with the line.
I can't remember the line.
The Alex Miss Machine line. Your Miss Machine line.
Oh, my Miss Machine line. Well, in my opinion, Miss Machine's objectively the best Dillinger album just because it did so much and changed so much for them. But it's not my favourite one.
Which is,
my favourite one's Option Paralysis.
Which is also, which is also mine.
I got into. But on the first listen, Alex's favourites were Calculating and One of Us. And I think since then he's been listening to them a lot, and he liked I Worked and One of Us.
Mm.
But obviously the Mike Patton EP is just like untouchable. So
yeah, that's what do you call that? It's like a variant. It's not even real. Like
yeah, it's a variant.
It's not
yeah.
even part of like the actual discography. Yeah. It's just a gem sitting
pure,
up there.
Yeah, it's not pure canon.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not pure canon.
It is something. And one of my favorite Dillinger songs.
Legends.
When Good Dogs Do Bad Things, or When Bad Dogs Do Whatever, the dog one on there. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Dillinger songs. I will have to say I definitely got more into Dillinger during the Miss Machine time, because I was around and
cool.
you know, I was in the scene at that time, so they'd already had like Running Board and 43% Burnt and all that stuff and the Mike Patton EP, but I had kind of fucked with the Mike Patton EP, and I may just not have been like a Dimitri guy, you know, early on, but when Greg entered the band, that Miss Machine album, like you said, did so much for a lot of things, and it definitely wasn't like at first listen, like, oh, this is awesome. It took many, many listens to get into that album, even though it was different than what the previous stuff is, but it was more palatable for some reason. But it also opened you up to like Dillinger too. And then you just followed them on their discography going forward, and you know, they kind of interwoven themselves between Miss Machine and like earlier stuff. So it was really good.
I mean, interesting, it's like we've been getting comparisons saying like our new album Blossoms like our Miss Machine to Mirrors being Calculating.
Nice.
And it's like the rawness is there in the first album and then it's like crystallized into its final form.
You say we had a review. Is that actually just your opinion?
No, we've had reviews saying that.
that is legit.
Well, you'll have a review on Lambgoat coming up shortly here.
Oh, cool. I can't wait for the comments.
Yeah.
You're going to get absolutely flamed.
Well,
let's
get into it. Let's get into it now. Yeah. We'll get back into it, because I know I've been holding you guys off on talking about that, and we've recently run into some like issues with bands and comments and stuff like that, and that is something that we've dealt with not only for the time that I've taken over, but Lambgoat's dealt with it, you know, for a long time. So I'm not going to say who I had these conversations with, because there are people that aren't super happy about the comments, so I'll just leave the bands you know, off, band names off. But I had a conversation yesterday literally with a decently established band, and they kind of didn't want us to post about their band because of the comments. Now,
weak.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, like, personally, I thought that was weak, too. And, you know, we do get our fair share of bands not being super stoked on comments for one reason or another, whether it's racism, homophobia, you know, just fucking outright crazy shit that they say on the internet, right? So,
yeah. So that's we're definitely not in that camp. For us,
but see what I said. What I said to them. What I said to them. What I said to the other person was, I was like, we have people that are in bands that use this as like a badge of honor for the most part. Some bands, smaller bands, love being posted about and getting roasted on Lambgoat. Some bands use those comments as like fodder or memes or like content to share to their audience. And then
we haven't done that yet. We certainly could though.
Yeah, you need to. You could. And you know, there's definitely like a community about the commenting too. So like, if you're new to Lambgoat, it does come off as like, holy shit, this is rough. But if you've been around Lambgoat, you kind of understand like, oh, this is just kind of what they do. They're like shitty comedians trying to make the worst jokes possible, and they fail 99% of the time. They're really bad comedians making really bad jokes.
We've had some, so the first time it happened, we were like, oh shit, this isn't very nice. The second time it happened, we were like, oh, this is how it goes on Lambgoat.
Oh, here we go, here
and
we
by
go.
The third article, we were like, I can't wait for the Lambgoat article. It's the best part of every release, is just seeing the most absurd things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
We've, it's like a badge of honor. We've been called Biden Rock.
Oh yeah,
there's so many bad puns like that aren't even like, they don't even make sense. Someone was like, more like poo poo toucher.
Yeah.
And I was like, wouldn't poo poo slicer be better? And then someone was like, pubic slider. And I was like, wouldn't pubic slicer make more sense as like a thing? Like, what does a pubic slider mean? And like,
just before we move on from it, right? Good. The Biden Rock thing is like now big in the band, because it's like we're Biden Rock, sure.
This is not going to be good, because now the person that made that comment's going to be like, yes, fucking got it, and now I'm going to do it more.
On a shirt. No, but the thing is, but the other half is like, I'd rather be Biden Rock than Trumpcore. So what about that, my friend?
Well, they're going to come Trumpcore on your comments now because you said you don't want
bro,
it.
Bro, like. It's fine. Like although we're talking about it humorously, like Kate, we've received all sorts of things, and Kate personally, because of the band, and it's like, well, if that's the case, then it means that one of the impetuses behind what Kate writes about and why the band exists is needed and vital for that reason. So it's like, yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah, but also they're putting enough. You know? The thing that I try to express too is like, if you're getting a paragraph comment. On your article, and it could be like, you know, wild, outlandish, possibly hurtful, whatever. God, the person had to expend so much time, not even just thinking about the comment, but then typing that whole thing out. It's like, you've won. Like, you know, you've triggered that person, or you've caused that person a reaction. Right, exactly. So, you know, it's one of those love-hate things on Lambgoat that we are at Lambgoat that we talk about the comment section and stuff like that, and it is it's one of the things that we're going to keep around, obviously, because it is part of Lambgoat, but you know, we're not like sitting here like hopefully exactly, and a lot of people do, and the thing is, like, you guys are in a different like, you know, your band is different because you do have people in different you know what I mean, you have like, bands have people of color, bands have people of, you know, trans people have, they're all different people, so you guys are one of those bands, so you tend to have a target on your back for our commenters, but a lot of the comments on your articles are good too, and a lot of them are talking about the music, and a lot of them are doing this, that, or the other. They could also not comment, and then that would be such a bummer. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that would be the bigger bummer, because like you said, they're talking about you, they're thinking about you.
It's like a badge of honor as well, when, like, because of the bar being so low for an average Lambgoat commenter, that when you get the mildest bit of praise, it's like, that guy fucking loves us. Like, we once had a, this isn't too bad, ...
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's a 10. Like, yeah, you've got a 10.
That's a 10. That's a Lambgoat 10 right there.
but okay, so from me owning the brand and the website, I appreciate the way you
You're
look
the head
at the
honcho.
Comments. Yeah,
you're a head honcho. We are speaking to management right now.
Currently, okay? I didn't create it. I didn't create it. I didn't start it. I just took over a year ago. But I'm sorry, Kate. What were you saying?
Okay, fine.
You can finish.
I was just saying all the comments are you under a different alias.
Yeah, I am anonymous. Yeah, I am anonymous. I gotta keep people coming back. You know what I mean? I gotta see what. I have no time whatsoever. I got all the time in the world to spend, fucking leaving weird comments on the website. But yeah, I mean, and to be all transparent and honest, I've also received probably more than in the last, you know, 3 years doing this podcast and being a part of the forum and being a part of the Lamb Goat staff for that long. I've received my fair share of just people dogging shit and all over my life and my dead mom and fucking my ex-girlfriends from past previous relationships.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
It's all good. My mom's been dead for like 12 years, so it's not like a fresh new wound or anything like that, but they like to bring it up, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, eh, fuck it. You're thinking about me.
Wow.
Yeah.
So quite needless, really, isn't it?
Yes, but some people are sad individuals and they live on the computer in their mom's basement. And that's the thing. A lot of people need to realize that the people that are leaving comments, for the most part, especially if they are truly hurtful, you've already won. The person they're commenting on has already beat that, you know what I mean? Like, anyone hating on you or me, we've already won.
Yeah, that's I love the haters.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I want to get into the name because the name is also quite... one of those things where a lot of people are drawn to one way or the other. I literally was just listening to the Hard Lore podcast. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah. I think I know what you're about to say. Guy Someone else mentioned it to me. But please continue.
The guy from...
God's Hate and Twitching Tongues.
Harm's Way.
And, yeah, Bo from Harm's Way and Colin from Twitching Tongues and God's Hate and Dead Body and everything.
Yeah. Damn, those are good bands.
Yeah. It's a great podcast, too. It's becoming one of my... ones I listen to on a regular basis, but they mentioned Colin. He was always like, the name is almost too jarring for me to listen to the music. But it is one of the, and that's the comment that he said, but I've also heard like how jarring the name is just with the visual, you know, like saying it or reading it then makes you think visually of slicing your pupil. And that's not something that, you know, like a paper cut, people fucking start cringing. Slicing your pupil is like your eyes start watering, your nose start, you know, I mean, you feel it.
Yeah.
Oh, it should affect you in all forms.
Yeah.
I'm a bit numb to it at this point. I just think it's funny.
Well, yeah, you would.
Because I forget how brutal the name is.
Right, but it is coming to people's eyes and ears for the first time in the last couple months. You know, you're growing in fandom, and you're getting a better, more listeners, and so people are, you know, hearing that name for the first time, being like,
I mean,
what the
with
fuck?
Regards to people hearing the first name, what never gets old is like two scenarios. One is kind of when we're just about as a band, and then we either have to just do admin as a band, so maybe check into a hotel or go through tolls, and people are like, what your band called? And we're like, Pupil Slash. And they go, yes, Pupil Slash. Like that. Like that. Or the other one is just in work, and you go, what's your band called? And they go, Pupil Slicer. And they go, okay, I guess, do you play rock? Do you play rock music? And you're like, yeah, I play really hard rock.
Have you ever heard of Imagine
really
Dragons?
Heavy
it's
metal.
Kinda like that. It's kind of like Imagine Dragons meets... I'm trying to think of a big UK rock band, but I can't off the top of my head.
You too.
Royal Blood. That one's in my head right now because they just fucking kicked everybody off.
I actually watched that. And I was like, dude, come on. You probably got paid tons to do this. Just like...
Oh, were you there?
I mean, I'm like... It's...
No, I wasn't. I wasn't the big weekender. Like, I did see the clip, though, but...
Yeah.
That's
wild. Big weekender with Jay-Z.
I mean, they're acting like they're Brendan from Counterparts. And it's like... You know you're in Royal Blood, mate. You're not in the
Yeah, but he didn't do it in like a, no, but he didn't do it in like a call out way.
It was cheesy. It was like kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
It was just actually just someone complaining. Like hardcore bands do it in the kind of an emotive way. Yeah. And when you do it, you're generally standing in front of a group of people doing it, and like, you know, it's kind of you're doing that more as hype. But they were just that thing was just like, you guys, and then they walked off with their fingers up.
Yeah, I think I saw
I was like, wow, okay, nice. Yeah.
I saw like the edited clip for like, you know, whatever. I think we posted it. It was like a minute or two long, but
yeah,
it cuts around. You know, it cuts around. I guess throughout
that's
the
what
set,
I saw too.
And the, you know, the drummer's drinking like from tequila from the bottle. I'm like, this probably wasn't going to go well anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we learned that lesson on drinking and performing a long time ago before we like even released the album. I think the first time we got to play Boston Music Room in London, which is like 100 cap, and we were like, oh my god, we're going to be massive. We played 100 cap opening a 5-band bill and got really excited and bought a bottle of JD between the three of us and hammered it down like half an hour after our set, and then we went and bought another one. And I was so fucked. I was like, well, we've got to show the bigger bands our appreciation for letting us play this gig for them. And I was like moshing around and smashed my face into one of the monitors at the front of the stage, and like I turned around and I was just covered in blood, and I've still got this massive scar, and I was rushed away.
The good thing is when you're drinking home and you have alcohol, it's thinner blood, so you're thinner blood. You bleed more, you look cooler.
Yeah, I look way cool. I got rushed to hospital, got home at 4 a.m. and I was like, I'm never doing that again. And since then I just like haven't drunk anything. So I had like a period like that was within like a year of me starting drinking at uni as well, so it was like had that lesson and then just stopped.
Go
ahead, Luke.
No, I was going to say, me and Kate drink lager tops occasionally after practice.
A lager top.
A lager top being, for our American friend, a basically like his beer with a bit of lemonade in. So what kind of granddad's drink and stuff like that. You don't really want to drink beer, like full beer, you know.
How much? How much lemonade is in a beer for that?
Probably like a quarter.
Oh wow! And how does that taste?
Well, it's like really refreshing. Do you know what a shandy is?
Yeah, like a summer shandy, I guess. I don't drink a lot of those. I barely even drink these days, and if I do, it's like shitty American beer, like Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light.
Speaking of PBR. Which, I've got this.
We've been called that.
Which is like Swedish beer that I got on the ferry. It's delicious.
Nice.
Cheers, Norlands Gold.
Yeah. I'm just thinking like lager top, probably exactly what Lambgoat commenters think we would drink.
No.
Bud Light Core.
Bud Light Core, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Bud Light Core. Yeah, that's a good one. That's an interesting situation going on.
It was something like, this band needs a deal with Bud Light. And I was like, that's a fantastic
I feel like those comments, though, especially if anyone is like trans in a band, those are just like, those jokes are just so low hanging fruit. They're just like easy toss ups. Yeah. You know, like you expect that. You expect it. You know, what we need is well thought out, humorous commentary. That's basically it. Highbrow, yeah. Lamb goat comments. No more lowbrow. It's time for a change.
It's also made Kate really strong with like kind of impenetrable.
Well, that's the other thing about
unfortunate, but
you know what I mean. That is the thing about dealing with like haters and stuff like that. And you know, I come from a different time, as Kate comes from a different time. Luke, you come from a different time, and also different parts of the world, right? So different things go on in societies on an everyday basis in different parts of the world. I was bullied in school, like in elementary school, middle school, high school, and all this stuff. You know, not constantly, but you know, there are people that were bullied, that bullied me or picked on me or blah 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 or hated me for any reason whatsoever. And you know, with a lot of people getting bullied these days, and a lot of there's a big push to like stop bullying. Part of me is like, damn, I did overcome all that bullying, and it made me sort of who I am today. So, whereas, like, the comments on the internet, that's why, you know, I can read comments on the internet and not, like, cry or, like, lose my shit or want to go into a hole or stop doing what I'm doing. So, my curiosity is how do you guys take this negative, quote-unquote, bullying-type energy as a band or in personal life or as a band?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I don't know. I think it's one thing when we're getting attacked as a band as a whole, where I'm like, that's pretty funny, and less so when it's just attacking me existing as a person, and I'm like, what do you want me to do about that? Like, it's fun to say the band's Biden Corn should have a deal with Bud Light, but then it's another thing calling me a freak and that I should kill myself and stuff like that. That comes more from Facebook comments, actually, on like ads. That's when you get like random people.
That's the craziest part. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Stuff into the void.
I don't want to interrupt you, but like I have not to touch back on the comment thing that we were just talking about with Lambgoat, but in the conversations I have with other people about, like, because we have open dialogue, so anyone that has a any band that has an issue with the comments or what we're doing with the comments, feel free to reach out to me or Lambgoat. We will discuss it and blah blah blah. It's, it's a full thing, so that's all full disclosure for anyone. However, when we do have those conversations, I'm like, you can check your local fucking Facebook, like the local news station on your Facebook, and all of our parents and grandparents and all the people that we know on Facebook that are fucking verified are out there saying the wildest shit with their fucking face and their full name right next to it.
Yeah.
So I don't care. I like, if they're doing that, they're definitely going to do it anonymously. And, you know, it is what it is, but there's so much worse, I think, sometimes on Facebook, and they're accounted for. The people are accounted for, you know?
Yeah.
So, continue on, sorry.
I think I got to the end of the point there. It's just like, yeah, it's one thing with the band, another thing when it's personal. It's harder to deal with when it is personal, but I've sort of been just sort of getting over it and being like, well, you can't really do anything about it. You just got to be like, yeah, whatever, fuck these guys.
Exactly.
I don't understand why you've got so much time on your hands to go and be commenting this shit.
That's one thing. That's definitely one of the things.
But when it is about the band, it is quite entertaining, so I'll allow that.
Poo-poo toucher. That's a good one.
Poo-poo toucher. It doesn't even make sense. I don't understand.
I did kind of think, like, okay, Lambgoat's asking us on, is this like a setup?
Never gonna be a setup, big dog. We Lambgoat and the comments are separate. Like, obviously, like Lambgoat isn't the comments section. It's just part of the dichotomy that goes on.
No, you're a very nice person. I'm enjoying our conversation. It's just I was like, what's the catch?
You're not the only person. Yeah, and the thing is, you're not the only person that have thought that in the past.
Really?
Oh no. I mean, like, we haven't gotten bands on that we've covered for like 20 years. You know what I mean? There's bands. And a lot of that has to do with the way that Lambgoat was previously run, not in the way that it was run poorly. It just didn't have someone like me forward-facing. It was always Alex, the original owner, but not doing interviews, you know, online, or not doing interviews himself for the most part. He always would have like a writer do it or something like that. And so there was never any kind of like
separation.
Yeah, it was always like Lambgoat's is just fucking like troll site, and all these trolls have taken, like, the inmates have overtaken the asylum or something like that. And so everybody clearly hates everybody. Like, if you work at Lambgoat, there are bands that I've introduced myself to, bands that have like done really good things at Coachella recently, that I've introduced myself to that don't like us at all, you know. And like, I'm a big fan of those bands, and it's just one of the things that, you know, we have to work towards as Lambgoat to rectify. You know what I mean? We're not trying to erase the comment option. We're not trying to change the history. But what we're trying to do is, our idea is, if we grow the website big enough, because what we care about is the underground music part and documenting the scene and documenting what's going on, positive and negative. It's all part of history, because Lambgoat has 23 years of history within its databases online.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than the other bigger websites out there. So we think that that's a big core thing for the historical aspect of like hardcore and metal. We're going to continue doing that.
I was going to say that's culturally significant. If you've got like over 20 years in a body of documents.
We've covered bands from their inception to the breakup, and they've done 20-year careers, you know, like Every Time I Die. Or
I was going to say,
So when people like get bummed out about not wanting us to post about them, it's like, it's so much bigger than you. It's so much bigger than the comments. It's so much bigger than your feelings, unfortunately, too. And that's, you know, I don't know. But also, I'm from Florida. I mean, we're like a free speech kind of thing. So like, I have to navigate it very, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like the coverage on Lambgoat is always really good. Like, it's just good journalism. And then you get the added bonus. If for some reason, out, like, completely unrelated to the article, you just get a comment section that's like that, and you're like, why? It's like, it does feel like it's sort of like a culture. Like, if you saw the article in a vacuum, there's no reason to think that on this news website, like any other news website doing good journalism, that the comments would be like that, but it's like, because it's Lamb Goat, this is how you comment.
Metal Sucks is kind of like that too.
Yeah.
Metal Sucks isn't as bad though.
Like, no, they're, I like, mean, racy. Dude, it used to be pretty spicy. It's not as bad as
yeah.
Days.
Yeah,
see, these are good things though. To hear, right. Though, too, because like we get just shit on all the time. Like I talk to people like in the industry, bands in the industry that also have an issue with, like we've already said, and it's like I'm all for people not getting their feelings hurt and people feeling, you know, welcome and this, that, or the other, but also sometimes it's like you can't take one of the comments,
bro. They sound touchy.
They well, yeah, they a lot of people are obviously, but. There's other bands like you that are much stronger and thick-skinned that are, you know, hopefully pushing not only, like, whatever your message is forward, you know, like, whatever you guys are bringing to the table lyrically and what you guys want to express as a band, but you're also, like, exposing it to where more people like your band can do the same thing. So it's only going to flood the market more, and then those people are going to get more and more perturbed as that goes on. But our thing is, like, touching back on growing the scene and growing everything is if we can grow the audience that comes to Lamb Goat, it will also somewhat kind of like not flush out the old, but it brings in a lot of new blood, which could possibly younger, you know, more progressive users or whatever could also do different comments.
The wokies.
Yeah.
Just gotta get rid of those dudes in the 30s and the 40s with beards, to be honest.
The guys that look like you with
yeah,
your
own you and me. Room. You and me, we just can't get on Lamb Goat anymore. We just stick to our porch and tell everyone to get off our lawn.
Yeah. Luke found these Ray-Bans on tour. They'd just been like lost somewhere, and we tried to hand them in, and like no one wanted them and stuff, so we kept them. And when he puts them on, he looks just like the profile pictures of like a guy in his truck with sunglasses.
Hates our band.
Would be like, fuck cancel culture and all this woke bullshit, because like they're. Petrol went up by like 5 cents.
Oh hell, well, gas is a big thing here over in the States.
Get this Biden rock away from me. Get this Biden rock away from me. These liberals, they just stick their liberal agenda down my throat.
Yeah.
I can't say that I also am a fan of cancel culture. I definitely would be like on the fence for a lot of topics, especially being a Florida man. You know, I do get the
Florida man.
Yeah, I do get that whole, like, you know, oh, you're from Florida, so it's the whole thing. But, you know, I'm definitely not a Trumper guy. I'm more so probably left-leaning than anything, but I'm pretty in the middle on a lot of things. But cancel culture I never really got into, even as some... I mean, there's definitely levels to it, right? Like R. Kelly and Bill Cosby and all these other things. But,
yeah,
you know, like, I don't know, man.
I can't believe they canceled OJ.
They were late on that, but
oh,
you know, like Tim Lambesis, that's one that's kind of like it was always fuck Tim for a long time in my head, but now like I'm like, eh, well, you know, he went to jail and it's been a long time. It's like, how long am I gonna like not listen to, you know, Frail Words Collapse or something like that? Now I'm not gonna go like hang out and see him and hang out with him, but like would I listen to fucking Frail Words, you know, 94 Hours or whatever? Maybe I'll do that.
Hey, check this, right? So a couple of when I went to go and see your boy Fred Durst in London a couple of like a month or so ago.
By the way, it's been so many years since I've seen him. Probably like 7 years, 6 years. So I'm jealous.
They're doing another big show in London in the summer, and maybe even one down in Margate in Kent, where I live. So, but anyway, like, so we went to that show. We came back. There were some guys on the train that started talking to us on like, because I live in like. A county near London, so you know, we've got to get a regional train home and shit, and there's all the grungers sitting there, so you can see who's been to gigs and what. And that, I was like, oh, did you go and see Biscuit? And they didn't, they went to Enter Shikari. But on your similar thing to what you're talking about, going like, well, do you listen to this or that? This guy, like, proper, like, deep Kent kind of guy, just turned around and was like, listen, you know, I'm just listening to Lost Prophets. I don't care. It was wrong what was happened, but I'm listening to Lost Prophets. And to be honest, that's it. And like me and my missus were like, mate,
stand
you know, we were like, no, we were talking just about music from the early 2000s and shit like that. And like my other half and me just turned around and was like, to be honest, mate, like, that's just fucked up. So why?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, mate, Last Train Home still a banger. And I was like, He's a dirty pedo, bro. Like, so
now, I will say that I can't.
Maybe just don't listen to Lost Prophets. You know
I want to comment on that because, like, I didn't really fuck with the Lost Prophets after that Shinobi Dragon album, right?
Exactly the same. Exactly the same as me, yeah.
But now that that's all true, like, I haven't listened to that. I haven't listened to that album in a long time, even before all that came out. But when all that fucking weird shit with, is it Ian? Is that his name?
Ian Watkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Ian fucking had all that weird, crazy drama go on in his life that was off the wall, I was like, man, it brought all those songs back into my head, and I was like, I kind of want to listen to those again, but then the whole, like, other thing goes on.
They were
bangers, like,
TBH.
Yeah,
dude,
they
it
were.
Was big news here in the UK.
It was big here, I think, too. Well, I mean,
it should have been big there.
Big
news in the UK. I was like, what the fuck?
And for those who don't know,
I've never actually listened to them, and I don't know what the drama is, so it's just very entertaining.
Oh, the drama is, I think him and his girlfriend were like meth heads doing like fucking pedo stuff with her kid. Am I wrong?
Okay. He was like using fans to molest their children.
Yeah,
maybe
like recording it. I think there was like some videos of it or something. It was fucking
maybe
wild.
Maybe I won't do the deep dive on the discography then.
No.
Last Train Home, that whole album with Last Train Home, it was all garbage anyway.
Really felt sorry for the rest of the band, though, because obviously, like, that's like your life's work. Just fucked, basically. I think they started a new band. I don't know, but this is the best thing, right? Anyway.
But who's heard of it?
Exactly, this is the point that I'm making. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
But who's heard of it? You can't say formally of Lost. You can't even like bring that
into
the fold. You
know
what I mean?
X Lost Prophets. Wow, I want to check that out.
Yeah,
it doesn't make the best headline.
Yeah, I did get through a new metal stage where that was big. You know, the Inner Shinobi Dragon or whatever the fucking song was.
Shinobi versus Dragon Ninja.
Yeah, that is it.
That was big.
That was a banger back in the late '90s, early 2000s for sure. But nonetheless, dead to us all here on the show and everyone at Lamb Goat. But
not the commenters.
No, they probably still listen to it, yeah.
Or in Kent, apparently.
Yeah, the one guy on the train, he doesn't give a fuck. He's going to let you know. Look,
To be fair, like, the same guy told me that he's seen, like, no offense to them, but, like, that he's seen Enter Shikari, like, 15 times, and that, like, Bullet from a Valentine were, like, the most metal band of all time. So he did have some hot takes on certain things.
You know what?
Typical Lost Prophet fan.
He kind of sounds just like a big UK homer. He just wants to support the UK bands. He just wants to get it out there. You know, he's a big homer, dude. It's all good.
Because my wife was like, this guy. I was like, dude, just, you know, it's just a thing.
In his head, Ian had one little slip up. It's no big deal. I could still listen to fucking Handsome Swing
Alive. Could have happened to anyone.
Yeah.
Maybe he watches this. He said he's going to come and see us at Download, actually. So I'll point him out to you, Kate.
Give him a shout out.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's coming up soon, right? That's coming up in a couple weeks. This podcast will have already
next weekend.
Come out there. But yeah, that's something that's one of the big UK festivals I definitely want to go to. Hellfest,
biggest rock fest, yeah.
Yeah, Download, Hellfest, and Outbreak are coming. Like, those are the Euro festivals that are like really on my radar right now. More for like the hardcore stuff, but there are a lot of the bigger metal festivals too that like obviously would be insane to go look at. But I'm not. I'm currently in my elder age. I'm more into like hardcore than I am metal.
There's a festival. Is it like called? There's that one in Belgium that's called like This Is Hardcore. That always looks quite good. And Hyper Fest.
They have a This Is Hardcore in Philadelphia here too. So
okay, yeah. So they have one in Europe too. It normally looks quite good.
Interesting.
So, need to get our agent to book us to play Wacken.
Wacken would be that's one that's problem. On there. But again, you have
shout
to have
out
like
to our friends in Heriot who are playing it this year.
You gotta have like a whole week fucking to do all that. And a lot of time. And a lot of people to cover it all, for sure, because that is an insane fucking big, large event.
So much Euro metal, curryversed, and good time.
What's the difference? Like, what's the big difference between Euro metal and American metal?
Everything, dude. Because like the Europeans, just like they just obviously like with folk European culture, we have like classical music and like pagan stuff and various, you know, like local cultures and stuff. And like the Europeans just love that and ABBA.
Yeah.
So like they combine all of these things with Iron Maiden, and that's like Euro metal. And it's just fucking brilliant. And like it's like
how is it so big? How is it so big over there? Because like we don't have stuff like that. Like we don't have like American.
You mean you don't have Hammerfall
metal
in America?
No, we what's don't got. We don't have like anybody. We have like, we have YouTube and like Instagram accounts that like play country metal or something like that, or like okay folk metal, but that no one's taking it seriously. You're like, but you guys have like entire genres like pirate metal, Viking metal, Celtic you know, fucking metal, like all this other types of fucking
yeah
power metal.
Power metal's
offshoots.
The best. Power metal's the best, dude. We met some guy from Greece who interviewed us, and I was like, make sure that you tell like them I love the Hellenic power metal, and he did. So nice. Anyway, I don't know what the moral of that story was. I don't think we'll be making any power metal anytime soon. We'll probably make some street hardcore before we make some power metal, but who knows? Vocal layer ring could get out of hand.
Next album's entirely sounding like Speed, God's Hate, and Sengun Sugabog.
Yeah,
crossed with Manowar.
You're gonna be one of those bands that just kind of transcends yeah genres, like the Deftones or you know, over their 20-year plus career, they've just never really sounded the same. They've always made a different album.
Mm. Yeah, I but mean, on like really Sabaton levels. The Sabaton, it's the Sabaton plan. We'll get more tanks.
Yeah.
We'll find out when we write it, because at the moment it could be anything. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's not really boundaries on the music we're making. Like nah. I said, like people seem to like everything on Mirrors, so then we went further in. Like, okay, we can just do what we want, and if we like a song, we'll put it on the album within reason. Like, I wrote a song that sounds just like Black Dahlia Murder, and I'm like, it's good, but it doesn't really have anything people slash about it. It's just a Black Dahlia Murder song. So within reason, as long as it fits the album, we'll put it out there if we like it and we've written it. So I guess it's good to have that constraint listed at this point, because we're a little bit more confident in ourselves. But I have been fucking a lot with God's Hate and Speed and Gel and Zulu,
because it's good and hardcore Bow is good. It's hardcore
Tsunami.
It's got a big upswing right now. Hardcore is like, because you know, hardcore moshing has hit TikTok and Twitter and Instagram, yeah, and people are now finding out that, oh, you kill people in the mosh pit, and the normal crowd is like, that is fucking wild, but it's also showing the normal crowd, like, you'll get like a small percentage, like maybe 0.5% of the normal crowd will be like, oh, I fuck with that, what is that, and they'll fall down yeah that rabbit hole again. And so we're getting like a big influx, you know, a big
yeah, there
influx
seems
of
to
new
be
blood,
like a really big resurgence of just like traditional straight up hardcore stuff that just hasn't, like, I'm sure it's been going in the underground more, but like not to the point of like, you look at Outbreak's lineup in the UK and you're like, every single one of these bands is a brand new sick hardcore band, yeah, that like if you look up any of them, they got riffs for days, and it's like, where did they all come from? It's just happened,
yeah,
and it's sick. I love to see it.
It's like, also coming from like, you know, like Speed coming from Australia, and there's other bands that are like,
yeah, as well, it's huge, like all like, over the world as well,
dude. So I actually won on Instagram tickets to go to like some festival that Speed were playing out in Australia, and I was like, all right guys, like, nice, that's really cool. I live in England,
yeah,
and they were like, cool,
do you want to sell the tickets or something, or what, how are you gonna pick these up?
Just never said anything. Hardcore bands are normally quite rude on social media, so I'm not really surprised, to be honest. I found that they don't even like social media.
A lot of bands, a lot of hardcore bands don't have social media and they don't like it, and it's the wildest thing, because like you can't find, like, a lot of these bands you can't find, like, you just have to go to the band camp and that's it, that's all you get.
They do interviews like us sellouts, Biden rockers.
Gulch and Tsunami wouldn't be sitting here talking about
Gulch,
Biden.
Gulch just broke up. They were like,
yeah, I know.
But
they definitely wouldn't.
Well, I mean, Sammy's doing big things with Drain, so you know he's the press guy with Drain.
Oh, that's true.
Big press guys there. They just hung out with Posty Malone yesterday.
Oh, sick.
Post Malone came to the Drain show. Yeah, I don't know.
On the hardcore thing, like as Kate said, like potentially try and do some like of that vibe on the next Slicer album or whatever or every release, but I'm pretty up for that, because then I can just do like my straight up street oi London hardcore vocals and just show,
which is just your voice really,
which is just my voice basically, yeah, and then like the Americans will be like sick and just
this
do
sounds
some of that
so
stuff.
Genuine and from the streets,
It is. I'm going to see. I'm showing my age, obviously, but in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go and see Rancid.
Nice.
Which is great. I've never seen that before. I played some of them to Kate, and Kate was like, every Rancid song's like, oi, 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 I've got a friend.
Yeah,
I
yeah, like yeah. It's definitely oi punk.
And
sure.
I was like, yeah, pretty much. That's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely like, but it's the American version of oi punk, I guess you could say, right? Cause it,
but yeah, dude, like that's the cool thing. Like, and it's got bits of ska in there, obviously.
But I think his parents are from. I think his parents are from, sort out that way. I think he's
really?
Like, I think he's got European parents, or I don't know. I could be fucking talking my ass. He was just on
one
a
of them
Hardlore
Danish
podcast,
or something.
Though. That might be it.
Great bass player. But anyway, yeah. Go on. Was you wrapping up then?
I was going to with one last
oh,
question.
Sorry, I
no, no, no. You're
go
good.
On.
You're good. We usually run in about an hour, and we're here now. So you know, I know you guys got things to do, another beer to drink, and other riffs to.
I'm on beer
out.
Too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna finish both of them.
I've got something waiting for me after this podcast. So by all means, I'm waiting and willing, or ready and willing. So you got a couple days before the new album comes out, and this podcast will come out in like a month's time. So. You know,
oh,
we,
okay. Ages.
You guys can look back on this particular question after a month and be like, oh, we were wrong or we were right. So what are the feelings that you have right now about releasing the full album coming out in a couple days' time? Like, is it nerves? Are you excited? Like, what's the band's, you know, mindset?
I honestly have not even had time to comprehend thinking about that. Like, we just got off 3 weeks with Boris. Then we came home, we played the show in London, and I'm packing 200 pre-orders to send out. So it's not really had time to think about it. So it's like, now that reviews are starting to pop up this week, it's sort of like, oh shit, people are hearing the album now. Like, I forgot that we did that. And like, I haven't listened to the album in a bit. No, I listened to the album again. I was like, this album's sick. Like, at least with the first album, we sort of had a wait of like, over a year of sitting on it before it came out, whereas this is like, yeah, it got mastered like 6 months ago, so it's still really fresh. And when I listen to it, I'm like really proud of it, which is a good state to be in, to be doing interviews and like releasing it, because it means I'm as excited about it as I want other people to be.
Yeah,
it's very honest. It's a very honest thing to say, Kate. You're breaking the fourth wall there.
Oh, people are going to think I'm not just the on stage persona all the time. But yeah, it's really cool. I'm excited. Like, the reviews have been really positive, and I'm hoping a lot of people give it a chance. Like,
I heard it again.
It's an album,
I heard it again
I think
this morning.
I think it's an album that's a good one to sit all the way through because there's so much going on it. So I hope people do that instead of like listening to one track and being like, I don't like this, because there's so many different things on it. Because I definitely feel like with the first single, there was a lot of people who were like, this album's going to be shit because it's just grunge, 90s grunge now. And it's like, well, it's not. It's just, there's got an ebb and flow to it. So I hope people listen to the whole thing. And if they do, I hope they get it, because a lot of people seem to be liking it and I want people to like it as much as I do. I'm very pleased with it. And I hope everyone enjoys it as much as the enjoyment I get out of it for having created it. And I also, what's the point of making music if you don't like the music? Like, I make music to be like, I love these bands and I want to make music that sounds like what these bands haven't done, because I think it would sound cool. And then I do that and then I go, sick, I've got my music and it sounds good. That was a really long-winded way.
I was going to say, Luke, you're addition
like
to that?
Was it how we're going to feel?
No, I mean, like, how do you feel now? How do you feel now about it?
How do you feel now?
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, we've had a bit of initial feedback from the quote-unquote industry, and most of it is like 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
But isn't that always going to be the thing? Isn't that always the case?
Not really.
No, you
not
get,
really.
You get like, this is shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't know. They don't fucking know what's going on. Especially
I mean,
in this
but that's just
industry.
External validation, right? So my actual opinion on it is like, for us as a band, and for, just for me as a player as well, like, and for it as a compositional unit and such, like, it is a big step forward. It's exciting to get out there, and I think people are going to dig it. I also wanted to comment on how Kate very sweetly said, I hope they give the record a chance, sort of like our album is like a foster puppy or something, or like a foster child that,
he's only bitten one baby.
Yeah,
you have
yeah,
to give him another chance,
a kernel in that you know, the frosty
in your heart.
In your frosty metal heart, to like put down the Frozen fucking Soul album because it's so sick for a second, and then like pick up just a chancing album like ours, we would have done very well. But yeah, like
give the Biden Rock a try. You might like it.
Hey, give Biden Rock a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't dismiss it.
Yeah, that might be a good one to end it on. Give Biden Rock a chance. That's gonna be the, that's gonna
you know,
be the,
these wokies can't all be that bad, you know. We might
death to false Trump call.
Yeah. Well, it's been a lovely time with you all. I know it's a little later over there, so I'll let you guys go here shortly.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, all the best of luck to you guys. You and Prosthetic, you know, the new album, like I was saying earlier, I listened to it again a couple times this morning in full. So by all means, yeah, it's definitely worth a listen in full for sure.
You think it's all right?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could use a little, I don't like dogs, you know, I don't like puppies, so I don't want.
He's gonna ask the Mamgoat users.
No, I like things that give it I love things that touch back to the early 2000s noisecore, mathcore, Dillinger, Norma Jean time frame. Because that's when I got like I fell into it. So of course it's like nostalgia. And when we were talking about like everything seems to be coming back sometime, you know, like you get these influences here or there, and in reality, all these grand albums are having 20-year anniversaries, and cycles usually go like, you know, 20 years. So whether it's fashion or TV or fucking whatever, so I feel like we're having that kind of resurgence of just a secular, you know, cycle coming back around, but also more people. The internet is just finding more people, and it's steamrolling and snowballing, you know, into a larger fucking problem. And hopefully Lambgoat is pushing everybody down that fucking rabbit hole.
History is, you know, as someone who studied history is full of cycles, and that's kind of one of the main prisms that people, you know, have analyzed the annals of our time.
Annals of our time. Yep, that's true. Pupil Slicer on the Van Flip podcast. Blossom is already out. You've already been hearing it a bunch of times. You guys are playing. You guys got a busy summer lined up or fall lined up. What you got?
Yeah, we got.
Let's end it on that.
Two shows with Download next week. That'll have already happened by this time. Then we're playing Mystic in Poland, which will also already happen. Then we got Radar Fest in Manchester with like.
Big on the prog fam.
Carbomb, Callous Down Boys.
Oh, Callous Down.
That's going to be sick. And then we've got Arctangent Festival with like Converge and Devin Townsend.
Conjurer,
our boys.
Our boys.
Health, also our boys.
How many of the butt plugs do you guys own?
Dune.
Do you guys own any of the
I don't have any yet. I'm waiting for Johnny to give me his personal one after we see him.
No, we need to get one for our driver, Dan.
We'll get one for our driver. He runs Titan Touring.
Check it out.
Nice.
And then after that, we have 10 dates in the UK with Employed to Serve at the end of the year. It's going to be pretty sick.
Are you guys
picking up Church Road Records?
11.
You guys, when are you guys making it out to this side of the pond?
Dude, hopefully this album. Yeah, hopefully this is the vehicle that allows us to do that. But I think you guys just like upped your artist tax by like 40% or 50% or something.
Just move over here. Move over here. It's a bigger audience. Better stuff.
Well, I ain't moving to Jacksonville. I'm staying in Kent, man.
You don't know what you're missing. Limp Bizkit was from here, guy. Okay?
Yeah, well, you know, Bosca from Kent.
I don't know what that is.
They're an influential post rock band from the UK.
I only know Limp Bizkit, guy. I only have enough room for Limp Bizkit and maybe a couple Korn songs and a Stain. One Mud Shovel by Stain. That's it.
Or perhaps
Spine Shank, then.
Well, two Spine Shank songs. Two Spine Shank songs.
Some 3 Days Power Grace.
Man? No 3 Days Grace. What was the other one you said, Kate? Sorry.
Power Man.
Oh, yeah. Power Man, the Stars of Volt album. That whole album.
Nice. Yeah.
And of course, Mudvayne is very special.
Mudvayne has a special band. They have two. I give them two songs, yeah. Dig and Death Blooms. But other than that, I'm good.
I mean, you put Death Blooms in there, that's generous. You have to, because of just like the bass work. Anyway, we'll stop our new metal playlist.
We can't.
We made a new metal playlist, I think.
We have a new metal website. Yeah, we got a new metal website.
Yeah, we should share it with it at the end of this, Kate.
We can share it, actually. You know what? I'm going to stop this right now, and I'm going to talk to you guys off camera really quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah,
This happens frequently. This happens frequently all the time. It's just this particular conversation doesn't need to be fucking on the internet or for the audience.
No, that's
members.
Fine. That's fine.
See you later, Lamb. Go.
Yeah, with everything said and done,
have a great day.
Pupil Slicer, Blossom, you've listened to it. Go listen to it. And maybe next year you'll see them in person.
And when you bring us back for the new metal clinic.
Yeah, well, soon.
Nice one. Cheers, man.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.